Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hi, friends. Today, we are joined by the powerful Natalie Sanders of Body Posse Bar, and she is a plus-size fitness instructor focused on bar fitness, and I can't wait to learn and to feel inspired. So welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me, Jen. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you so much for being here. A former podcast guest, Sarah Morris, was like, you need to connect with Natalie. And I'm always really excited to learn from experts in their field who are supporting people in larger bodies, but even more so when it is a plus size person that's also supporting people in larger bodies. And I'm like, oh, you really get it. And especially when it comes to fitness, right? There's so much that people who exist in larger bodies feel that fitness isn't obtainable to us, or the spaces aren't attainable to us, and or the fitness isn't. And you're like, forget all that. I'm a trained professional and I can accommodate you in person or online. So I'm really excited to learn all about you. Why don't you tell us a little about you and your work?
Yes. Also, shout out Sarah. Love a good internet friend, Instagram friend.
Yes.
I hope to one day meet her in person. I always love seeing all her home renovation stuff. So fun.
Me too. She's rad.
She is rad. Yeah. So I am a certified by IBBFA, which is a certification for bar training, or like for bar instructors. Bar is a little bit of a mixture of yoga and Pilates with a lot of strength training aspects throughout the type of movement. And if you ever Google, like, what is bar, or like bar classes near me, you're going to see thin white women pictured in all of the pictures, holding onto a ballet bar, looking like a cult, looking back at you at the camera. That's what you're going to see.
I'm literally envisioning the pictures that I saw when I was researching what bar was. You very much described it and the connection to ballet immediately. But you phrased it as, you know, yoga and different movement. So that's really cool. Cause I was also like, I haven't heard of this, but the way I watched Natalie's Instagram, it makes me really excited and want to learn more. And then when I was researching to interview, I was like, this doesn't feel as accessible to me. So yeah, what you said is so true.
Yeah. I think, well, you know, I could go down a whole tangent on why representation is important in any aspect, might it be body size or race or genders or whatever it is. But often in fitness spaces, as we know, as plus size people, we're just not pictured as someone who's enjoying having a fun time working out. It's like maybe a picture with your head cut off while you're running on the treadmill, like, and just no like person behind it, right? So I'm very much trying to be like, hey, fitness is for everyone, A, right? It doesn't matter what kind of fitness, everyone of all different sizes, abilities, enjoys movement. We just never see it. And then especially in bar, which is like a kind of a newer form of fitness, but it's a low impact, high intensity class. So it is like pretty intense. We're turning on muscles that you might not be used to working, or you're like, oh my gosh, I haven't actually done any Pilates classes or any yoga classes or anything like this before. But it being low impact means that you're usually going to be able to control how intense it is for you and your body, and get to really explore what little bit of alignment movement feels like while you're moving. And really one of my goals in my classes is just to feel more in your body. We're told every day, do this with your body, wear this skincare, wear these clothes, move like this. And like, sometimes you go through the motions and you do all the things and you're like, okay, I have on the cute outfit and I'm at the class, but we're still like thinking about the next thing or what we're up to later in our day. And what I'm trying to do with what I think that Pilates does, bar does, yoga does all in general is like, no, feel all these movements feel in your body, how your muscles turn on and off. Like when I teach my seated fitness class monthly, sometimes a lot of our work, like we're not even moving our legs, but we're turning on and off our glute muscles by just squeezing our booty cheeks, right? So it's helping you just be more familiar with your own self, which is what I've really loved about bar for the last 2 years that I've been teaching, is like just getting more in tune with my body and noticing when I feel strong, noticing when I feel tired, It's a long little rant there on Barr, but it has changed my life.
No, that's awesome. And I have to admit, when you said squeeze your booty cheeks, I totally squeezed my booty cheeks. So I think it's like when you say Kegel, people do the Kegels too. But you don't think of like, oh, yeah, these are muscles and my body is powerful and I can move and squeeze different areas of my body that don't always get the TLC that they need.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And that, you know, chair yoga and all different types of movement is movement, is exercise, is tuning into our bodies and releases all these amazing endorphins that make us feel so good.
Yes, truly, like reframing, which this takes years of practice and a lot of like consuming specific movement classes or listening to other instructors or just really listening to yourself, starting to trust your own body. But getting to that point where you're like, no, movement isn't like I'm here to make my body smaller or to fit into this dream size jean or whatever it is. It's totally fine to have aesthetic goals. And if that's what powers you, that's totally fine too. But what I have found more rewarding and what has made me stick with the movement routine longer and actually think that the term joyful movement isn't total crap, that it's actually real. There is joyful movement because I don't take the most grueling fitness class every time or like, oh, you know, I really got to start training for a 5K when I have literally never loved running in my life. So why would I pursue running? Instead, I could be like, wow, I love swimming. What if I turn swimming into cardio? Or, hey, I really want to strength train. I want to be one of those badass chicks that's lifting really heavy, right? But how about I just take a weightlifting class that I can learn those moves and not view it as like this, I'm trying to look different, but I'm trying to feel different, or I'm just trying to stay in tune. You know, what I go back to most recently, and what I've been kind of preachy probably in my classes about, is basic mobility. I just turned 34 last week, and I'm like, okay, more and more, I'm not trying to change what I look like. I love the way that I look. I love the way that I present myself in the world. But I would really like to make sure I can get up and down the ground easily, that I can go for long walks with hopefully my future dog that I'm going to get this year, or my sister's dog, or one of my other sisters about to have a kid. I would love to be able to continue to just run around with them without feeling winded and with confidence, right? Or if I'm out on one of those long walks and I feel myself, oh, I'm going to twist my ankle. Hey, I've practiced my balance work in Barr. I can step over and catch myself pretty easily. I'm confident I'll be able to do that. So I try to preach just basic mobility should be top of mind more than I should be skinny. Like this, instead, let's think about really actual like things that will continue to bring joy to our lives as we age. And by setting those foundations now, having that room to explore with all different types of movement structures that exist now out there, we're really in like the best spot I think that we've been in with like fitness accessibility out there so far. We still have a long ways to go, but we're getting there, right?
Yeah. Oh, there's so much that you said that I want to unpack and I love it all, but let's just start with something simple. Cause I know it's something the listeners can relate with of like, literally just getting off and on the floor and for parents to play with their kids and feel comfortable. What are some just beginning steps that we can take to improve our strength and mobility?
Yeah, great question. Really, it's the act of getting up and down off the floor, maybe every day.
Yeah.
And I'm sure parents do get up and down off the earth, off the ground almost every day. But really, it's just that like, okay, maybe right in the morning when I get up, everyone likes to pretend like they have this nice morning routine. It would be great if we all did. But what if part of that was, or maybe a majority of the week was, you know, just getting up and down onto your hands and knees on the earth, maybe taking a nice stretch there, you know, feeling it, just closing your eyes, being with your body for a minute, and then getting back up. And, it, you know, maybe doing that once or twice a day. Or if you're sitting on the couch hanging out, maybe it's just, hey, let me just slide on down to my knees, take a little stretch side to side with my arms, and then get back up, right? It's practicing. You know, your movement practice, right? Practicing those moves every day but trying to make it fun. So if you're like, ugh, I dread getting up and down off the earth, it's hard for me because it is hard to get up and down without maybe holding on to something. Instead of having that feeling of like, oh, this should be easier, like, and I wish it was easier. Instead, let's bring some tools around us that does make it easier. Keep a chair nearby so you can push yourself up and down off the earth relatively, well, maybe easier than what it is without it, right? And which is really hard, try to strip away the like shame that I need this year to make this easier. Instead, be like, okay, I'm going to use this for as long as I feel like I need it. And then maybe one day I'll try it without it. And I'll try just pushing up off the earth and see how that feels. I take a lot of like pride during my class of offering options or modifications without leveling them. Like, this is hardest and this is easiest because it's different for all of us. And I really try to put a lot of language in there that's like, one is not better than the other. It just depends on how you're feeling that day. Like, if you can lift both your legs up in the air for this move, awesome. But I encourage you to lift both of them. And maybe if it's feeling challenging, do one at a time next time. You can always switch between adding both in and trying to remove just that what's ground into us, that shame of if we can't do something, then we don't continue to practice it. It's hard.
I love that because you didn't just say, okay, just get up and down the floor every day. And, you know, it'll start becoming more of a routine. You unpacked it, how that can emotionally feel, not blaming ourselves or shaming ourselves or feeling badly about ourselves in the process. And then also, how do we augment it if we need a chair, if we need something else, and not feeling shame around those augmentations. Like, you broke that down in such beautiful and needed reminders that our bodies are all different, right? Yes. We all have different abilities, and why there is so much shame and stigma around fitness and larger bodies. That was something you had said earlier that I wanted to bring on. Like, you said you feel like the industry is changing, and I do too, yet I still don't necessarily feel comfortable walking into a gym. Mm-hmm.
It's so real, right? And folks who have either never been in a big body or larger body, or have never really understood some of their thin privilege or done anything to unpack that, you know, it goes hand in hand with racism work or any of that work that we're all always doing.
Yeah.
Just don't understand. They're just like, why wouldn't you just walk into a gym? It's like, I don't know. Someone might just snap my picture for walking in the door, or, you know, we could go on and on like what the issues are, but like and this is where it does kind of come back to like, the more we practice it and normalize it and seek out intentional representation of people doing the things that we want to be doing, the more normalized it just does become in our head. Like, sometimes I forget that I have my nice little Instagram bubble of who I follow, that like, oh, it still is shocking when people put on a bikini and a big body, like for a lot of people, right? And to me, I'm like, this, oh, it's like just so normal because I've intentionally consumed that content for 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And so that, that practice, that confidence, it comes over time, but it takes a lot of mental work to be able to do that.
And you're in Austin?
I am. Yep.
So how does someone who's not in Austin, and I know you also teach online and we'll promote the heck out of everything at the end of the episode, but how does someone like me in New Mexico try to find someone like you if I want that in-person experience? Like, what is your advice for the listeners that are like, yeah, you know, I've done 8 different gym memberships over my year and pretty much just felt like I donated to them. Or maybe you have a gym you love and that's rad. But for those of us that don't, what is your advice to find a size-friendly fitness instructor?
Yeah, it's really hard. And there's not resources everywhere, right? I still think that that's a huge gap. But social media was a game changer for me to just start following people who look like me, who are influencers. But then also trying to connect with maybe folks in the comments or folks, it's actually a little bit easier on Facebook where you can kind of like see people's pictures a little easier than Instagram.
Yeah.
But what I've relied on heavily here in Austin, there's a group of like plus size Austin group, Facebook group, where people will post if there's like meetups going on, or, you know, I'm looking for a primary care doctor here in Austin. Does anyone have any recommendations? And I found a really incredible doctor. I've shared it a bunch, and I went to go see her again this year, and she's like, oh my God, I had like 40 referrals for me this year. And I was like, good, this is amazing.
Yes.
It's finding those groups. I hate Facebook for many reasons, but I love that it can connect you with like-minded people. And so that's where I would say to start. My also like shameless plug is I have always been a member of my local YMCA, even in high school. Like when I was very into diet culture, I've always been fat. So I was always a fat teen. Always like, oh my God, I'm going to look so different this year. But I've always loved working out. And I love the YMCA. I would love to teach with them in Austin at some point, but there's always just all different types of people there. There's all different ages,
right,
genders, like all abilities. And like, I know Planet Fitness and some of these others like promote judgment-free zones, but I really feel like the Y is one of the only ones that really like truly, you see at least other people there. I did take a class that was filled with a lot of diet culture language the other day. And I was like, ugh. But at least there's representation of all different people in the class and everyone doesn't just look the same.
Yeah, I love that. I was a YMCA camp counselor for many summers. So big fan of the YMCA too. I will also say during my pregnancy, I did water aerobics at a local community center. Mm-hmm. And that was a real shift in what I experienced in walking into a fitness facility. Like you said, people of all different sizes, shapes, ages, and I didn't feel the same stigma or insecurity that I felt when I walked into a many another gym. Yes. In my lifetime. It felt like a much safer space in a community center. So that's fantastic advice of starting with your local online community. Yeah. And yes, like I love so many of the bigger cities, and I know Austin's so cool. But even when I lived in Denver, there was a group of like, you know, fat positive community members and joining that. And then that is how you find so many great resources. And for those of us that don't have a specific size related to your city, maybe you start one. Right. Or you can also just be a little braver in your local community groups and say, hey, I'm plus size. Any plus size fellow people in here? And statistically, it's probably going to be around 60% of the people there. Like, and then people can chime in and share their recommendations. And then also looking to the YMCA and other community centers that tend to be more inclusive. But I noticed how you said that even at your class that you went to, there was that language. Yeah. Do you ever say something or should we say something?
It's totally up to you. It's your time and your movement time, and you have to protect your peace. So if you're like, what I found is I'm so glad to be at a point where I can filter that out. Like, I know exactly why they're saying this. I know what they're trying to get a reaction out of me. It's either to push yourself harder or to think about the future body that you could have or whatever this is. And I know all that is BS. So I'm just like, okay, let it kind of just flow through you and out and like ignore that, right? I absolutely, as an instructor, have to say something. It's very difficult, especially when it's one of your first classes. Like if I'm taking another class from a different instructor, to not sound rude. But then I remind myself, actually what they said is rude. And it's okay for me to voice my opinion on this. As a people pleaser, I'm always like, oh my gosh, I don't want to hurt anyone else's feelings, but they're hurting mine, right? And I'm the paying customer who's there. And I think constructive feedback goes a long way. Like offer a suggestion, say why it's harmful, understand that that wasn't their intention, but that's their impact, right? And calmly, as calmly as you can, explain it. But it takes a lot of guts, but also there's nothing to lose, right? Like, okay, so if they say something back or say like, oh, this is how I like to motivate, then you know, A, not to return to that class unless you're mentally ready. Or B, I think what that will happen is they might have a gut reaction, but that'll make them think about it later when they leave, right? And that's kind of what we want, is someone to just think about it a little bit differently. And maybe they've never had to think about it from a plus size person's perspective. As a fitness instructor, I hope that they are, but they aren't all the time. And so, I say something if you feel like it, but absolutely don't feel, if you're just like, I just like the music in the class, I'm just here, I can filter that out and I can still come. It's okay too.
Brilliant, brilliant response. So we talked about like, how do you find in-person places? Online, I feel like it's so much easier, like spending time on your website. I felt so welcome. You're immediately like, weight neutral education, fitness is joyful. Let's build strength together. And I think that is something that ultimately the fitness instructors that talk a lot of diet talk and bounce back culture, especially for people postpartum, I would like to hope that will keep dwindling away. Yeah. Because messages like yours and your website and so many other size-friendly fitness instructors just feels so different and so welcoming, and the desire for me to want to participate,
yes,
right?
Totally. Yep. Yeah. It's nice, isn't it? To like, be like, okay, well, this finally exists at least. Like I can do this.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like, you know, there's been size friendly fitness instructors, I'm sure, since the dawn of fitness, right? Of people who meet people where they're at and treat them with compassion. But it's not something that we're always seeing or experiencing. And now we are, especially on social media, like you said. So that's been really, really wonderful. What hashtags do you follow around fitness and body positivity that you think are great ones for the listeners to tap into?
Ooh, great question. I haven't refreshed my hashtag list as often as I probably should. I do a lot of copy and paste, but definitely like just body positive fitness, fat positive fitness. Once you kind of get into, if you're looking on social media to follow fellow fat instructors or other people who just like to move who maybe aren't instructors themselves, a lot of us like to repost each other's work too. And so it's a great way to like find a bunch at once, right? There's a lot of even fashion bloggers who have done like follower roundups, you know, and then they'll have it saved in their highlights, like different plus size people to follow. But I definitely would say it, you know, it took me a long time to get comfortable to use the word fat. I think that that's a very personal journey for each person to decide if that's something that they would like to do. But I can tell you, it takes a lot of power back when you claim that word back for you and use it frequently. With, you know, it's an amazing thing. So if you feel comfortable searching those kind of hashtags, right, can also be really powerful. And maybe even just following like, hey, like fat fitness, see what pops up, see who tags under that. You know, it does take like a little bit of reaching out and like definitely curating your feed to be what you want. But like that constant reinforcement, that constant seeing other fat people living their lives, just being joyful or doing whatever the heck they want to do that day, really changes then just how you view yourself and how you view the world around you. It makes a huge difference. If you're following any of those like shredding for the wedding or like just like fasting people, like I cannot encourage you enough to stop doing that. Even though I know it's hard and we like to cling to our diet culture past because it's something that we're really familiar with. But if you can let some of that go and welcome in people, maybe some infinifat people or people who are super fat, right? And really try to like just like humanize folks that you don't see in the media and radically accepting themselves, right? When in this world that is told that we shouldn't. It starts to change your brain, and it's really good and a really good way that you can like curate your exposure to things.
Absolutely. I mean, even for someone like me that's been in this space for so long, working on fat advocacy and body positivity, you know, this morning I got, you know, we get so many brand pitches, and it was from a postpartum wellness, and it was like weight loss while you're breastfeeding and get your body back and wanting me to promote stuff. And I was like, it just left me feeling icky. And I wrote back and said, no, this is not at all what I promote. Please remove me from your list. And then to prepare for our time together, I revisited your resources again and just watching your Instagram reels and seeing a larger body move in such beautiful and powerful and strong ways and your fun messages about like, I'm going to do what I want to do and live my best life and find joy in movement and, you know, whatever to you. Or there were just some really fun, you know, reels. It helped me again, like to reframe, like, no, like wellness isn't tied to a number on the scale. It is tied to how I feel in my body. And like you said from the beginning, like mobility is so critically important. And the older we get, the more we realize that. I mean, just me now in my 40s, I'm like, why is my knee hurting? You know, it's like, that's so important to stretch and to move. So even when we have these curated feeds, which I do and Natalie does, you're still going to get those random emails or the commercials, or you're sitting, unfortunately, in your doctor's office and there's a magazine that has all these messages. So the more we can tune into spaces like yours and even mine, it really does help us to feel better in our bodies, and that advocacy and movement is accessible where it so often doesn't feel that way.
Absolutely. I also would say if you don't have any fat friends, make a fat friend, like somehow, some way, because being able to bounce just like feelings and emotions and chatting with someone who looks like you is like a life changing. I can't like, I've had a couple of really close fat friends over the years, and I'm so thankful for all of my conversations, even if there's like, you know, some sort of comment that comes from another friend in the group that's just like, oh, I feel fat or whatever I'm saying, like just curating that feed, finding that community, and really trying to find like someone that you can really confide in who gets it too is really nice for building up resilience to those messages, or having someone who you're able to vent when you see some crazy diet culture thing going on and just calling them up and be like, oh my God, can you believe this?
Yes. Yes. Oh, so good. Today's episode is sponsored by Aeroflow Breast Pumps. Did you know that your health insurance will cover the cost of a breast pump? It's true. In fact, many health insurance plans also cover milk storage bags, breastfeeding prep courses, and more. At Aeroflow Breast Pumps, you can shop top-rated pumps from brands like Medela, Spectra, and Motif without ever opening your wallet. Fill out their quick and easy insurance eligibility form, and they'll take care of the rest. It might be the easiest thing you do this pregnancy. Visit aeroflowbreastpumps.com/plus-size-birth to find out why more than 1 million moms have chosen Aeroflow Breast Pumps to get their pump through insurance. And now, let's get back to the show. So what does joyful movement mean to you? What does that look like to you?
Yeah, that I like I alluded to a little bit earlier, joyful movement always seemed a little bit like an oxymoron to me. I was like, this can't be. I've always worked out super intense with the intent of burning as many calories as possible in the shortest amount of time, really obsessed with like tracking and all of that. And when we add all of those like tracking elements or all of those measuring sticks to like what counts and what doesn't, that like removed all the joy from me. That might bring someone a lot of joy. So I don't want to discredit that. Like it is like a little game sometimes if that's what you're into. But when I was like, okay, what if we just like don't care how long we move forward, but we just go for a walk as long as it feels good. Or like I have a destination of a coffee shop right in the middle of my walk. And then I'll, you know, come back. That's my halfway point, and I'll walk back and I know I get a little iced tea or coffee in the middle. That's going to bring me joy for the day. And I got some movement in. So allowing myself to move in ways that were easier for me, like a walk or like just going to swim and treading water for 20 minutes while chatting with a friend, or finding something like bar, or starting a yoga practice that is meant to just like really be for meditative, like allowing the less intense movement count as movement every day, instead of feeling like, okay, I can do some of the easier stuff to me. It's not easy for everyone, but easier stuff to me. But then I have to at least get like that 30 minutes of cardio in, because it has to feel like a punishment at some point. Allowing myself to not have to do that every time is what allowed me to be like, actually, movement is joyful. I feel more energized after. I sleep better. Maybe I make some healthier food choices during the day. Not that you have to at all. And I mean healthier food choices by adding more fruits and vegetables, not necessarily taking anything away, but being mindful, especially as we age too. And not letting it rule with the diet culture lens or the intentional weight loss lens. Instead, just being like, hey, all these other things make me feel better. Movement can make me feel better too, without it, yeah, just being such a punishment and so grueling and so intense. Or for anyone else, right? A lot of times when we're moving for intentional weight loss or for an aesthetic goal, it might not necessarily be just for us. It could be for a partner, a parent, a grandparent, you know, it could be or a career aspiration, whatever it is, right? There's many reasons, but when you actually just are like, what do I actually like to do for movement?
Yeah.
And let's just focus on that. And then it is sparking joy because I'm doing it at the time of day I want, maybe with a friend or two. And like, it's allowing space to be joyful instead of just strict and regimented. Also reminding myself that like mowing the lawn, shoveling the driveway, whatever it is, cleaning the house is also movement. I don't have to work out on top of that day too. That can count and be it. And so like, just being more gentle with myself and what my expectation is definitely what allowed joy into my movement.
I love that. And reframing movement. Like, why have we for so long tied movement to punishment?
I know, right? Why?
I mean,
it's, movement is fun.
Yes!
But it's not when it's punishment.
I know. I mean, it's probably because of the multi-billion-dollar diet industry that's like, we move for weight loss, so you must move. But it's like, okay, but my whole life thinking that movement was punishment really didn't get me anywhere, nor did it help me to find a routine that was sustainable and enjoyable. But reframing it as like, oh gosh, this feels good and I'm proud of myself. And look, I just walked a 5K and this feels great. And like all those things, it really does change it. I just wish that we didn't have to question so often what other people were thinking about us. And I know we're all working on our own place on our body love journey. And some people are like, I could care less. And I, you know, admire those people. I feel that way probably 80% of the time, but there's still that 20% of the time where I don't feel that way. And that's where connecting with the movement space like yours, a class like yours, or a class online, it not only brings in the joy of movement, but also that safe and secure space where I know I'm not going to hear, you know, I'll see less of you next time, you know, and I've heard that before. And at first I was like, oh, they don't want more people to come back. And I was like, oh no, they're talking about my body size. They're going to see less of me. Like, that feels awful. Like, why is that the message we're leaving on, as opposed to like, gosh, don't we all feel great? Like, how awesome do we feel right now? Bet you're going to get a great night's sleep and, you know, all that good stuff.
Oh, I hate that less of you. It's like, no, I want to see more of you.
Yeah.
More of your personality shine through. You being more enthusiastic about life or just feeling out of a slump or whatever. Like, more. I always want more of someone, not necessarily less.
Yeah.
So, oh, that breaks my heart. I would, oh, I hate that so much. But I like what you said about online, the online fitness space. I think it's like the pandemic certainly helped with this. Okay. That's, so many things were horrible about the pandemic. I will not ever be like, hey, but the online fitness space got better and allowed people, like what I say in my classes when folks log in, is you can have your camera on or off your class and it's totally up to you. You can turn your camera on at any time and you can turn it off at any time. So if you start with your camera on, you're feeling like, yeah, I'm going to share myself with the class today. But then you get to a really hard move and you really don't want to be sharing. You can turn it off. I don't care. Sometimes everyone has their camera on. Sometimes they all have them off. I also say you can leave my class at any time. Like if you start this class and you're like either too tired or you really don't like it, it's your first class, please exit. There's a lot of ego that comes with instructors where they're like, if you leave my class early, I'm going to follow you out, especially in person. I'm going to follow you out behind, ask you what's going on, you know, and it's, they make it about them. Like the movement class is supposed to be your time. I say, I always start my class too with like, hey, I'm one coach, but your body is the most important coach in the class. If something that we're doing doesn't feel good, you can either take a little dance break, sit down and have some water, just watch. You don't have to do any of the moves. You can just be in community watching me move if you want, and really just being able to make it your own. Also, as a trauma-informed and eating disorder-informed instructor, sometimes seeing yourself in a mirror in a fitness class in person is extremely triggering, and we will never get past being able to do the movement because we're only staring at ourselves and criticizing ourselves, right? So intentionally moving at home without your camera on doesn't allow for you to see yourself moving. You're more feeling what you feel like moving. And it's great. It's a good, I shouldn't say, it's good tool for folks who also have body image issues. And so I would never expect you to have to turn the camera on because I don't need to know if that's what's going on with you. But I want you to feel safe to come and explore movement without that pressure of me having to see you. Like, I mean, maybe you felt this way too, but like the thought of having to go to one of those big box gyms and do like one of their personal training, free one that you get when you sign up. Like, I don't want anyone to watch me move that closely. I would need to have it be someone I handpick out myself. I know it, what they think inside their like brains. I do not want just anyone watching me move. Right. So it's very personal. And as much as at home movement doesn't seem like it can get personal with your instructor, it can. Like, you get to be in your own home, in your own space. You can add more props, more pillows, more support. You can work out in your underwear if you want. You can do whatever you want. You get to be your most comfortable in your house. And so I've really enjoyed keeping most of my classes to virtual. I very rarely teach in person. And just for that reason, I get to connect with people in their safe space and remind them that they get to start trusting their body in their movement classes.
Oh, that was so powerful what you said about like seeing yourself and how it holds you back. Like I was literally envisioning all the classes, and sometimes I would be brave and I would let the instructor know, hey, like if there's anything I need to augment. And then I felt like things were better once I said that, but I still didn't necessarily feel safe in the space. And I always was so worried about like trying to keep up versus like listening to my body. So you saying like, even with virtual, like it's seeing yourself in the camera can sometimes definitely feel intimidating. And so turning it off, like I had never thought of that. And my, like my whole body relaxed when you said that. I really like that a lot. For people starting at home fitness work, outs. What are some of those tools that you recommend having on hand for augmentations for those of us in larger bodies?
Yeah. So for my class, we have a bar. So I have like a little fun pop-up bar, but you just like a back of a chair or a bar stool. And if you have like a dining chair that acts as your bar, you can, I also cue like when we're working on just our upper half, I'm like, you can sit for this part. I'm not going to because I'm teaching, but feel free to take a seat and then we're going to be just working upper body. So I give a lot of cues like that, right? That's like, here's some options for you to take a seat. So having a chair nearby, even if your instructor is not telling you that you can sit, have it nearby. And if you want to sit down and keep moving, please do, right? And then like, if you can get to a space where like, yeah, you get to be like with yourself and alone, like maybe it's in your bedroom or an office. I like to work out too in the middle of my living room too, but there's a lot of distractions around that happen. So if you really can take it as your time for yourself, I think that it's a really nice thing, like to close that door, have it be just you. And then a lot of instructors or online fitness folks let you take a free class to see if you like it.
Yeah,
I do that. And I know there's a lot of instructors that do that. Or if they don't and you reach out and you're like, hey, I don't know if this is going to be for me, but I'd like to try it. They will typically give you a free class too, because, you know, financial investment is also part of it. That can be a barrier that we also don't talk about enough, as people in plus size bodies might earn less as well. So shout out, if anyone ever needs a discount code or a free class, they can always slide into my DMs too. And I offer that, but I also offer a monthly free class for that reason too.
Thank you.
Yes. But I think, yeah, if you can get yourself in like, kind of like where I'm like looking over at my home gym setup over here, but like that cozy space that you feel safe, that you feel comfortable. And then just like bring, like I do a lot of stuff on our hands and knees, but I'm like, get those extra pillows or dish towels around and pad those knees if you need to. Or I offer a modification where if we are doing stuff on our hands and knees, we can always do it from standing, holding onto the wall too. So if your instructor is not giving automatic options or modifications, feel free to ask them after class, like, hey, what, you know, what can I do about my knee is hurting me? Maybe it'll feel better in a month, but what can I do in the meantime? And they can give you some options and modifications too.
So good. Oh, well, I'm excited. So I want to take a bar class. Can you again just explain what bar is like? Because I think I get it and you gave me those that visual, but maybe just kind of really explain it, because to me it was new and I didn't really know anything about it.
I will say, so especially trying any new fitness class, it's really hard to do, but give yourself a lot of grace that you might not get it the first class, right? Not necessarily you don't get it, but it's like, I don't know the instructor's cue or cadence yet. And so like, allow yourself to be new at something, and it's okay if you stumble through it. That's a hard thing for me to do. I have to constantly remind myself that as I go into a new fitness space. So with bar in particular, we do, like my classes all have the same flow, and not every single studio will do that, but it's usually very upbeat music where you're keeping pace with the music while you do lightweight or no weight, like just body weight, strength training moves that often mirror yoga poses and Pilates like moves, so like classic Pilates moves. So like in my class, we move kind of from doing some arms to thighs, back to arms, back to thighs. Then we do planks, glute work, and core work. And we end down on the mat for core. So I kind of follow that same pattern. And as you approach a new fitness studio or instructor, you know, they might have that similar flow. So you can kind of get into your groove, get to know what's going on. But a lot of my, since it's like low weights or no weights, you know, you think, oh, this is going to be easy. What do you mean a 2-pound weight for class? Like, why would you even have me bring a weight? Like, this is wild. But then we do a lot of reps. So a lot of reps with low weight or no weight. And all of a sudden those 2 pound weights start to feel like 10 pounds. You're like, oh my gosh. But what we're doing is building not only strength, but we're building stamina and endurance too. So it's a lot of a mental connection to your body. Like, okay, this kind of sucks. I've done 100 bicep curls right here in the last 2 minutes, but I can do this. Like, and you know, kind of like a rose colored, whatever. Like when you go to protests or when you go to other things in your life that matter, where you have to have your arms up or you have to be lifting your kid or you have, you know, that's where you're like, ah, I can pull, I've already practiced this. I know what my body feels like under this stress. And I've expanded my ability to be able to do this longer and still have breath or still feel good. Right. And so it's practicing, you know, some strength and mobility stuff. I also really focus on, I've been adding more of this on balance.
Yeah.
This idea of like even when we're doing lunge, like a lunge move, we might just move up and down. And I always say up and down an inch in a bar class is what we're all about. Little movements, but a lot of repetition to burn our muscles all the way out to that fatigue point, which is going to look different for all of us. But we, you know, we're challenging ourselves with each class to maybe make that fatigue point a little bit longer next time. We have no shame when we need to stop and take a break, but maybe next time we can do it a little bit harder because we know already how it feels because we've had this safe space to explore what it feels like in our body. And I always say like, hey, keep your bar nearby. Hold on to it if you're like, whoa, I feel like I'm going to fall over. But maybe when you're feeling ready, we float those hands into prayer position and try balancing. We do a lot of one leg work while we're doing bicep curls to make that mind-body connection of like, what comes next? What part of my body needs to be moving? So it's really like a total body workout or movement. But it encompasses a lot of like just what we should be focused on for fitness as we get older.
Ooh, I'm inspired. I see it and feel it and all the things. And like, yeah, you lift the kid when you first have them and you're like, ah, this is easy when they're little and then they get bigger and they still want to be held and you got to move them and car seats and ooh, those car
twisting,
seats.
Bending.
Yeah, those car seats are so heavy and like bending into the car. And like we started off with just getting up and down off the floor. Like none of our conversation has been about changing your body size. And we've talked about fitness for 45 minutes. So I love it. Love you, Natalie. Tell us all about where people can find you, your work, and where we can connect with you immediately on social media too.
Yes. My Instagram is at Body Posi Bar, which is just BODYPOSI. And then bar is spelled BARRE. I mostly use Instagram. I'm trying to get onto the TikTok train. I like to just scroll it instead of making them, but I need to get better. Yeah, I'm like, oh, I'm intimidated by all the cool people on TikTok. No.
You're so cool. Come on now.
Facebook. I don't have Facebook, so don't want. But my website is bodyposibar.com. That's where you can sign up for classes, see what my schedule looks like. I release my monthly schedule the last week of the month for the following month. I do one monthly seated bar class. It's totally seated. So you'll be sitting for the duration of the class. If you're looking for a way to maybe ease back into fitness, you've taken a long time away from classes, that might be a good class to check out. Just because it's seated doesn't mean it's easy, but it is maybe a bit more approachable and more accessible to someone who hasn't moved in a while. I also, every first Friday, host a First Friday community bar class. It's at 5 p.m. Central Time on the first Friday of every month. It's just a 30-minute class. I do a lot of just basic bar moves just to have some fun going into the first weekend of the new month and as a way to give back and just welcome more folks in who either are too intimidated, don't have the funds to pay or what. There's a million reasons why, right? But typically for those classes, there's quite a few people signed up. There's a lot of newbies in the class. So that's a good one to just come and explore.
Yeah. Is that one online or in person?
All of these classes are online. Wow. I teach them all online right now. And then my regular schedule, I teach a 30-minute class on Mondays and a 50-minute class on Thursdays, both at 6 p.m. Central Time. However, I send out a recording after every single class, whether you were there live or not. So you can sign up for whatever class sounds good, whatever duration sounds good, and you'll get a recording right after.
Oh, cool.
I offer a 5-pack and a 10-pack of classes to help bring that cost down if you want, or you can be a member and get signed up for all of them all automatically.
You offer so much, and that's so great that you have that one class for people to join and see what. I should have done that before we recorded, Natalie.
First Friday is next week.
Yes, yes.
Also, anytime, even if you take a First Friday class or not, you can try any of the classes for free with the code FIRSTFREE at checkout. So any one of the classes that you want. I do a lot of fun themed classes. Like tonight I have Lady Gaga bar. I've done Lizzo bar.
Oh, wow.
It's like all Lizzo playlists. So we do emo bar sometimes. Lots of My Chemical Romance.
So fun. Yeah. And like I said, when I first started researching you and your work, I'm like, what is this bar and ballerinas? And I'm like, no. And then part of me was like, I always wanted to get more into bar and ballet stuff, but then you just think it's totally inaccessible when you're in a larger body, and that's totally BS. It's all accessible for us. We just got to find spaces where it feels good physically and mentally to be present and to have an instructor that knows about the, you know, certain little augmentations that are sometimes, not always, but sometimes needed for people in larger bodies. So you're amazing.
I'll never forget one of the times I was taking Jessamine Stanley's yoga class with underbelly yoga, and she told you to move your thigh meat or like pick up your belly and physically put it in between your thighs. And I was like, I have never, not ever heard an instructor say that out loud, or say permission to readjust your outfit because you just sat down to stand up and it's not going to stay in the same place. I'm like, do you have any fitness classes I've been to where I'm like, oh, I don't want anyone to see me adjusting? Like, so I've definitely learned a lot from her, brought that into my class too, of like, if you have a bigger belly, let's sit with our legs wider. I very much cue that like, I see you, you're supported here, you're welcome here.
Well, I have felt so seen and supported throughout our time together. I really encourage people to go check out your work and sign up for that class. And if it's the right fit for you, then keep moving your body, and whether or not it's with Natalie's work or whatever it is, find anywhere. Joyful movement, because it's so critically important for our overall well-being and stamina, and to pick up those kiddos. You so much for your time and sharing your expertise. Until next time, friends. Bye.